You know, for a kid from Roseville, Minnesota, with roots in the Iron Range of that great state, Paul Dye's done pretty well. Texas stole him from the Gopher State some years ago, but that's only because we never figured out how to base the space program in Minnesota. He's the longest-serving flight director in the history of the space shuttle. It's a record that's obviously not going to be broken. But he's also a home builder, at least a two-time offender, maybe three.
Yeah, two or three, I guess you count that. We've been building airplanes for a while.
He's an aviation writer. If you read Kit Planes magazine, you've seen his great work. Every other article in Kit Planes is written by Paul Dye.
But you know how it is, Bob. You have peaks and valleys.
That's right, yeah. But this week, the focus has been on the art. Well, this week, this month, this spring and summer, this focus has been on the RV-1, the very first in a long line, which was found in tough shape, I guess, some time ago and put on the backtrack. It's flying again. It's toured the country. It was given to Dick Van Grunsven, who this week gave it to the EAA here at Oshkosh and was honored, I think, today, right, at the Theater of the Woods?
Yeah, we just had an event at Theater in the Woods.
And you know who found that? This guy, Paul Dye, who's with me now on EAA Radio. So
good,
what have you done lately, fella?
Well, you know, I have a picture of we just finished an RV3, my wife and I, and I have a picture of my RV3 with the RV1. I met up with it on a tour in Kansas City, and someone took a picture of me leaning up against him, and I realized those two airplanes have kind of been my life for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
We restored the RV1. We sent it out on tour. And at the same time, we were building an RV3. There was a reason that when we found the RV1, we sent it to Dallas, to Fort Worth area, for restoration, where we had a lot of people who could work on it. But my ulterior motive was to get it out of Houston, because I knew if it was there, we'd never finish working on R3.
Which is where you're based.
Which is where I'm based, down in Houston, yeah. So great number of people worked on that airplane.
Yeah. But you found it.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Well, I was.
That's like everyone's dream to find some gold in some hay
barn
or something.
Well, there were a lot of people who knew it was there. They just weren't people that were, you know, involved in the wider community of experimental aviation.
Yeah.
I was on a tech counselor visit to a little grass strip on the east side of Houston, Texas, and the fellow said, "Hey, before you come look at my RV6 that I'm working on, come see what's in the back of this hangar. I think you might be interested." And there was this dusty little yellow airplane sitting there with no prop and a bent gear leg, and it on the side it said RV1, and I said, "Is that what I think it is?" And then on the canopy skirt, it said, "Built by Dick Van Grunsven." And I said, wow.
Yeah.
It took us a little while to confirm. I took some quick pictures with my cell phone of the data plate and things, and we did a little research, and that was it.
Yeah. And this was it's Playboy, right, that he had modified, I think, either before or after the war or something?
Right. It was the Stitz Playboy in 1965. Dick modified it. We people say, "So it's a Stitz Playboy." I said, "Well, yeah, it's a Stitz Playboy, except that he took the turtle deck off and put a bubble canopy on it, and then he put a big engine on the front, which meant he needed to put a bigger tail on, so then he needed a different cowl, different tail. And then he changed the wing to an all-metal cantilevered wing of his own design, and then he changed the landing gear. So, yeah, it's a Stitz Playboy, I guess, from the steel tube part of the fuselage. That's the only thing that's left of the Playboy.
And when you looked at it, does it reveal things about the ladder line of the RV line that you can say, "Oh, yeah, that's where that idea came
from"? It does.
From.
The wing is essentially what became the RV3 wing. And there are little bits and pieces of things on the airplane, like the tip-over canopy that we have on the 3 and the 4 these days. I mean, it's a little bit different shape, but it's the same idea. And it's a very lightweight way to make a bubble canopy. So what you see on this airplane are the beginnings of Van's ideas of lightweight and keep it simple. I mean, it's a very simple airplane. The flaps are manual. There's no locks. I mean, it's just really, really simple.
Yeah, it screams Van, basically.
It does scream Van. Yeah. I mean, I think any great artist, you see the same thing throughout his career, the same style throughout their career. They'll modify technique and the like, but you'll always see these little tell marks that tell you, "Oh yeah, I know who did that."
Yeah. What was involved then? So you found it, and did it instantly pop in your head? We got to get a bunch of folks together, and we got to have a big giant thing, and then we got to fly it around the country, and then we got to bring it to EAA.
My first thought was, you know, I'd been told that Van had lost track of it. And I said, "I wonder if he knows it's here, and I wonder if he'd like to get it. Could we buy this and get it back to him somehow?" And to be honest, the next thought was, "And I want to fly this thing.
Yeah.
I really want to fly this, just because I've got to fly airplanes. I love different airplanes." And it was, we didn't know who owned it. It was, you know, it was shown to me by a fellow because it was in the back of this community hangar, and it took a long time before we finally found the owner. And then it took a friend of ours who has time. He's a retired businessman and is really good with folks to kind of butter up the owner and talk to the owner about it and what it was doing with it, and would you like to sell it? And we went on and on, and that was about a 2-year process.
What? It took 2 years it to convince a guy who's got a plane rotting in a hangar somewhere?
Yeah, well, he was a really nice gentleman who really was proud of the fact that he was the owner of the RV1. When he bought it, it was painted red, white, and blue. It was not, you know, and he took the time to turn it back into Van had it. He cared about it. He really did. Yeah. But he eventually got to the point where he was having some engine difficulties that he just could not sort out. And finally, he just threw up his hands and said, guys, I think you need to deal with this. Wow. So we bought it. And at that time, we realized we've got two options here. Dick had told me that he would like to have it if we could get it. But he also said it should go in a museum. And so we said, Dick, we can just ship it to you if you want to buy it, or we can make this a gift from the community of experimental home builders across the country and around the world. The gift is we will restore this, make it fly, show it to people, get it out there, and then let you give it to the EAA Museum.
Yeah.
And it took us a couple months of back and forth with Dick, not because he needed convincing, but because he's such a busy guy and he's in demand for safety work and all sorts of things for the home building community. Before I finally sent a note and I said, Dick, I know you just want to have it to have in the barn to look at, but I also know you don't have time to do anything with it. So let us do this for you. And he said, yep, you're right. Go for it.
Yeah. And so how long did it take altogether? And
the restoration, I've lost track. Yeah. I like to say that I can keep track of everything. I'm a very regimented engineering type guy.
I know
guy.
How you engineers are.
But I'll tell you what, once this thing started going, I lost all track of the number of people and the names of people and volunteers and people that donated parts and companies that donated parts. When I say companies, you know, all these small little companies that are one person or two people things throughout home building that make special parts. We had hundreds of people that showed up in Fort Worth at various times to work on it. It was about a 9-month job to get it flying again. Mm-hmm. We had to teach people what restoration meant in this context. It was not, you know, we're going to make this thing look like it came off a showroom. We needed to make it airworthy because it never looked like it was off a showroom. All the time Dick had it, he was changing it, carving on it, making this change, making that change. So it was always a work in progress. Yeah. So we didn't want to lose that.
Did I hear he was unveiling the original seat or a replica of the original seat?
Yes. I knew.
That was like a big giant secret.
He told me it's Sun and Fun about the seat. And we just about died laughing. We always knew he had a fiberglass bucket seat.
Yeah.
But what he had not told us is that it was upholstered. This was the 1965, a young late 20s guy. It was upholstered with a leopard skin print. And I heard that from the guys at the factory that while the airplane was there, that he was working on this, and he found the same leopard skin print.
No kidding.
It's great, and it's a comfortable seat.
Yeah. And so you got to fly it, the first flight. You're the
chief pilot for the organization. So we recruited pilots to take it around the country, some of whom I'd never met, but I was given by reputation. I wanted mature pilots with really good judgment, good tail dragger skills, and preferably people who had made first flights in airplanes that had never been checked out in that airplane. Because this is a single-seater. You had to take it up by yourself the first time.
But you were... I think, was it in Sun and Fun? Where did Van finally...
Van saw it at Sun and Fun.
Was that you? Did you bring it?
I brought it into Sun and Fun.
And so, you know, he doesn't strike me as a real emotional guy. What were you expecting when you got jumped out and said, well, here's your RV1?
I figured he was going to walk up and pull on his chin a little bit and say, well, it's kind of neat. And then he got in it. You know, I said, well, Dick, get in, you know. And he climbed in, and the grin was from ear to ear.
Wow.
There's some great pictures.
Good job. Thanks for being here, man.
No problem.
Good to see you. Paul Dye, the sleuth who found the RV1 and helped bring it back here to Oshkosh, where it belongs.